The following is a review of the fixed income principles designed to address the learning outcome statements set forth by the CFA Institute. It is also covered in Understanding Fixed Income Risk and Return. For this topic review, the first LOS is to calculate and interpret the sources of return from investing in a fixed-rate bond. There are three sources of returns from investing in a fixed-rate bond. 1. Coupon and principal payments. 2. Interest earned on coupon payments that are reinvested over the investor's holding period for the bond. And 3. Any capital gain or loss if the bond is sold prior to maturity. We will assume that a bond makes all of its promised coupon and principal payments on time. That is, we are not addressing credit risk. Additionally, we assume that the interest rate earned on reinvested coupon payments is the same as the YTM on the bond. There are 5 results to gain from the analysis presented here. Given the above assumptions, 1. An investor who holds a fixed-rate bond to maturity will earn an annualized rate of return equal to the YTM of the bond when purchased. 2. An investor who sells a bond prior to maturity will earn a rate of return equal to the YTM at purchase if the YTM at sale has not changed since purchase. 3. If the market YTM for the bond, our assumed reinvestment rate, increases after the bond is purchased but before the first coupon date, a buy-and-hold investor's realized return will be higher than the YTM of the bond when purchased. 4. If the market YTM for the bond, our assumed reinvestment rate, increases after the bond is purchased but before the first coupon date, a bond investor will earn a rate of return that is lower than the YTM at bond purchase if the bond is held for a short period. 5. If the market YTM for the bond, our assumed reinvestment rate, decreases after the bond is purchased but before the first coupon date, a bond investor will earn a rate of return that is lower than the YTM at bond purchase if the bond is held for a long period. We will present mathematical examples to demonstrate each of these results, as well as some intuition as to why these results must hold. A bond investor's annualized holding period rate of return is calculated as the compound annual return earned from the bond over the investor's holding period. This is the compound rate of return that, based on the purchase price of the bond, would provide an amount at the time of the sale or maturity of the bond equal to the sum of coupon payments, sale or maturity value, and interest earned on reinvested coupons. We will illustrate this calculation and the first result stated earlier with a 6% annual pay 3-year bond purchased at a YTM of 7% and held to maturity. With an annual YTM of 7%, the bond's purchase price is $973.76. On your financial calculator, enter N equals 3, IY equals 7, payment equals 60, FV equals 1,000, compute PV gives us negative 973.76. At maturity, the investor will have received coupon income and reinvestment income equal to the future value of an annuity of 3 $60 coupon payments calculated with an interest rate equal to the bond's YTM. This amount is 60 times 1.07 squared plus 60 times 1.07 plus 60, which equals $192.89. We can easily calculate the amount earned from reinvestment of the coupons as $192.89 minus the 3 $60 coupon payments, which leaves $12.89. Adding the maturity value of $1,000 to $192.89, we can calculate the investor's rate of return over the 3-year holding period by dividing $1,192.89 by the purchase price of $973.76, taking the third root of the result and subtracting 1, which gives us 7%. This demonstrates that $973.76 invested at a compound annual rate of 7% would return $1,192.89 after 3 years. We can calculate an investor's rate of return on the same bond purchased at a YTM of 5%. The price at purchase would be $1,027.23, which we calculate as follows. N equals 3, IY equals 5, FV equals 1,000, payment equals 60, compute PV. Coupons and reinvestment income are 60 times 1.05 squared plus 60 times 1.05 plus 60, which equals $189.15. The holding period return is the third root of the quantity 1,189.15 divided by 1,027.23 minus 1, which equals 5%. With these examples, we have demonstrated our first result, that for a fixed-rate bond that does not default and has a reinvestment rate equal to the YTM, an investor who holds the bond until maturity will earn a rate of return equal to the YTM at purchase, regardless of whether the bond is purchased at a discount or a premium. The intuition is straightforward. If the bond is selling at a discount, the YTM is greater than the coupon rate, because together, the amortization of the discount and the higher assumed reinvestment rate on coupon income increase the bond's return. For a bond purchased at a premium, the YTM is less than the coupon rate because both the amortization of the premium and the reduction in interest earned on reinvestment of its cash flows decrease the bond's return. Now let's examine the second result, that an investor who sells a bond prior to maturity will earn a rate of return equal to the YTM, as long as the YTM has not changed since purchase. For such an investor, we will call the time the bond will be held the investor's investment horizon. The value of a bond that is sold at a discount or premium to par will move to the par value of the bond by the maturity date. At dates between the purchase and the sale, the value of a bond at the same YTM as when it was purchased is its carrying value and reflects the amortization of the discount or premium since the bond was purchased. Capital gains or losses at the time a bond is sold are measured relative to this carrying value, so bonds held to maturity have no capital gain or loss, and bonds sold prior to maturity at the same YTM as at purchase will have no capital gain or loss. Using the 6% 3-year bond from our earlier examples, we can demonstrate this for an investor with a 2-year holding period or investment horizon. Recall that when the bond is purchased at a YTM of 7%, its purchase price is $973.76. If at the end of year 2 its YTM remains 7%, we calculate its price as follows. N equals 1, IY equals 7, FV equals 1,000, payment equals 60, compute PV, which gives us negative 990.65, which is the carrying value of the bond. Coupon interest and reinvestment income for 2 years is 60 times 1.07 plus 60, which equals $124.20. The investor's annual compound rate of return over the 2-year holding period is calculated by adding $990.65 to $124.20, dividing the result by the $973.76 purchase price, taking the square root of the result, and subtracting 1, which gives us 7%. For a bond investor with an investment horizon less than the bond's term to maturity, the annual holding period return will be equal to the YTM at purchase under our assumptions if the bond is sold at that YTM. The intuition here is that if a bond will have a rate of return equal to its YTM at maturity, which we showed, if we sell some of the remaining value of the bond discounted at that YTM, we will have earned that YTM up to the date of sale. Now, let's examine our third result, that if rates rise before the first coupon date, an investor who holds a bond to maturity will earn a rate of return greater than the YTM at purchase. Based on our previous result that an investor who holds a bond to maturity will earn a rate of return equal to the YTM at purchase if the reinvestment rate is also equal to the YTM at purchase, the intuition of the third result is straightforward. If the YTM, which is also the reinvestment rate for the bond, increases after purchase, the return from coupon payments and reinvestment income will increase as a result and increase the investor's rate of return on the bond above its YTM at purchase. The following calculations demonstrate these results for the 3-year 6% bond in our previous examples. For a 3-year 6% bond purchased at par, or a YTM of 6%, first assume that the YTM and reinvestment rate increases to 7% after purchase, but before the first coupon payment date. The bond's annualized holding period return is calculated as follows. Coupons and reinvestment interest equal 60 times 1.07 squared plus 60 times 1.07 plus 60, which equals $192.89. The bond will be worth $1,000 at maturity, so the holding period return is the third root of the quantity $1,192.89 divided by $1,000 minus 1. This equals 6.06%, which is greater than the 6% YTM at purchase. If the YTM decreases to 5% after purchase but before the first coupon date, we have the following. Coupons and reinvestment interest equals 60 times 1.05 squared plus 60 times 1.05 plus 60, which equals $189.15. The holding period return is the third root of the quantity $1,189.15 divided by $1,000 minus 1, which equals 5.94%. This is less than the 6% YTM at purchase. Note that in both cases, the investor's rate of return is between the YTM at purchase and the assumed reinvestment rate, the new YTM. We now turn our attention to the fourth and fifth results concerning the effects of the length of an investor's holding period on the rate of return for a bond that experiences an increase or decrease in its YTM before the first coupon date. We have also demonstrated that when the YTM increases after purchase, but before the first coupon date, an investor who holds the bond to maturity will earn a rate of return greater than the YTM at purchase. Now we examine the rate of return earned by an investor with an investment horizon less than the term to maturity under the same circumstances. Consider a 3-year 6% bond purchased at par by an investor with a 1-year investment horizon. If the YTM increases from 6% to 7% after purchase and the bond is sold after 1 year, the rate of return can be calculated as follows. The bond price just after first coupon has been paid with YTM equal to 7% is N equals 2, IY equals 7, FV equals 1,000, payment equals 60, compute PV gives us negative 981.92. There is no reinvestment income and only one coupon of $60 received, so the holding period rate of return is simply the sum of $981.92 plus $60 divided by $1,000 minus 1, which equals 4.19%, which is less than the YTM at purchase. If the YTM decreases to 5% after purchase and the bond is sold at the end of 1 year, the investor's rate of return can be calculated as follows. The bond price just after first coupon has been paid with YTM equal to 5% is N equals 2, IY equals 5, FV equals 1,000, payment equals 60, compute PV gives us negative 1,018.59. The holding period rate of return is simply $1,018.59 plus $60 divided by $1,000 minus 1, which equals 7.86% and is greater than the YTM at purchase. The intuition of this result is based on the idea of a trade-off between market price risk, the uncertainty about price due to uncertainty about market YTM, and reinvestment risk, uncertainty about the total of coupon payments and reinvestment income on those payments due to the uncertainty about future reinvestment rates. Previously, we showed that for a bond held to maturity, the investor's rate of return increased with an increase in the bond's YTM and decreased with a decrease in the bond's YTM. For an investor who intends to hold a bond to maturity, there is no interest rate risk as we have defined it. Assuming no default, the bond's value at maturity is its par value, regardless of interest rate changes, so that the investor has only reinvestment risk. Her realized return will increase when interest earned on reinvested cash flows increases and decrease when the reinvestment rate decreases. For an investor with a short investment horizon, interest rate risk increases and reinvestment risk decreases. For the investor with a one-year investment horizon, there was no reinvestment risk because the bond was sold before any interest on coupon payments was earned. The investor had only market price risk, so an increase in yield decreased the rate of return over the one-year holding period because the sale price is lower. Conversely, a decrease in yield increased the one-year holding period return to more than the YTM at purchase because the sale price is higher. To summarize, with a short investment horizon, market price risk is greater than reinvestment risk. With a long investment horizon, reinvestment risk is greater than market price risk.